Monica Orluck, CEO and Executive Director of Operation Troop Appreciation.
So what inspired you to get involved with the foundation?
Started with my father, who served in the Marine Corps when he was younger, and then my godfather, who was actually a Vietnam War veteran. So I was always raised with a sense of bringing support to those who serve our country, especially, you know, those who suffered in times of combat. You know, growing up, though, there really wasn't a whole lot of opportunity until really 9/11. And at that time, I actually had a very good friend that was deployed to Iraq with the Pennsylvania National Guard. And I was looking for ways to help his unit because I was sending things every week to them. It was early on in the conflict. It was 2004. There weren't a lot of bases built up in Iraq at that time, and they really didn't have access to a PX, you know, military exchange store. So I was sending, like, you know, basic hygiene items and snacks and things like that. And I couldn't find an outlet that would allow me to do more volunteer work in support of those that were serving. And it just so happened it was the 4th of July, 2004, so 20 years ago. That I read a newspaper article about this woman who was starting an organization called Operation Troop Appreciation, and she was looking for volunteers. So I cut out the article and I said, I'm going to have to call her tomorrow because her contact information was listed. And I went to a 4th of July event at Soldiers and Sailors Hall later that day. And in a crowd of 1,500 people, she was standing next to me. I recognized her picture and I introduced myself. And said, you know, I have a background in product management, sales, technology, marketing. You know, would that be of any help to her? Her background was in audit and accounting. So it really kind of meshed. Yeah. And, you know, 6 months later, I was vice president. 6 years later, president. And then ultimately, she retired. I became CEO. And here we are now, having just celebrated our 20th anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
So can you tell me a little bit about the organization?
Sure. We are founded on the principle that we volunteer to serve those who volunteer to serve our country. So for 20 years, we've very successfully grown, not only sustained, but grown our nonprofit to the point that we've now helped over 200,000 deployed troop members, and that would be all members of every branch, including National Guard, Reserve, and active duty, all branches of service that are deployed anywhere in the world for combat or humanitarian-related missions on behalf of the United States. In 2014, with the drawdowns in the Middle East, we found there an increased need for veteran support, especially in Western Pennsylvania. We had a large Pennsylvania National Guard contingency that had gone through multiple deployments. So we have a very large veteran community to begin with. I think we're the second largest in the country is in Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania area. So we were able to secure funding that allowed us to launch our Veteran Welcome Home program. So we did that in April 2014, and now we have two programs that serve those while they're deployed, as well as providing critical services to veterans when they come home.
And with both those programs, do you see or hear about people's the military confidence level rise as you help them?
It depends on what's happening, right? We get a lot of, I don't understand why your services are needed, because we do provide basic services. For example, on the active duty program, it's kind of, we call it a wish list program, right? So when troops deploy overseas and they get in theater to their deployed location, they send a request to us through our website and they tell us who they are, where they are if they're permitted. How many men, how many women, and what they most want or need. And we provide things that are going to boost their morale, contribute to their health and well-being while deployed, or contribute to their missions. So we send everything from supplemental tactical equipment to Doritos and everything in between, right? So, you know, a lot of times people will question why we're even needed. Why isn't the government providing all this? And, you know, on the active duty side, you know, the government's providing them with their weapons and the ammunition, right, and the things that they need to carry out their mission. These are, you know, we focus on those things that the government does not provide, or that, you know, they would otherwise have to pay for out of pocket. Or it just could be something that's a better quality than what maybe the military issued product would be. Yeah, so rather than standard ballistics glasses, well, you know, I can get a good price on Oakleys with interchangeable, you know, tinted lenses, and, you know, that they can quickly modify, you know, based on their needs, things like that. On the veteran side, you know, we really focus on those that are transitioning out of the military or coming out of inpatient care for physical, psychological, combat-related PTSD conditions. They could also be at the risk of or coming out of homelessness. So what we do is focus on those veterans as they're being housed, you're placed into permanent housing, and we provide them with brand new beds and what we call the Welcome Home Move-In Starter Kit. And that's basically everything you need when you first move into a home. And it's all brand new. Pots and pans, dishes, glasses, silverware, kitchen gadgets, bathroom accessories, bedding, towels, linens, laundry supplies, cleaning supplies, all of those things that you need to, you know, sustain your household. And then we also make sure that if they have to get to doctor's appointments, therapy, counseling, court appointments, or job interviews, we provide the transportation. We want to make sure that as that veteran is, you know, moving into this new phase of their life, that they maintain an upward trajectory to a higher quality of life, especially if they're in recovery, right? You're not going to recover if you're sleeping on the floor. If you don't have pots and pans to cook healthy foods, you know, healthy meals with, you're going to be eating fast food. You're not going to recover. And also, an empty apartment where you don't have a bed and you don't have, you know, you have empty closets and cupboards, just increases the chance that there's going to be recidivism, especially with homelessness. When you have a veteran tell you that they're more comfortable in a shelter because they've got a cot to sleep on and get three meals a day, then you know you have to fill that gap. And that's exactly what we do. You know, we also include non-perishable food so that they have a starter on staples that they need. You know, and we just really want to make sure that it's all presented to the veteran. It's all brand new. We do supplement with donated items that we get, but they have everything they need to maintain that apartment or home. And it's presented as a welcome home, thank you, kind of like, you know, the tradition of doing a, you know, having a homecoming party. Yeah. You first move into your home. You know, it's a welcome home. It's a gift. So it's not presented to them as charity. It's a gift. We're very, very proud of that program. It really blew up and grew much faster than we thought it would. But we're blessed in that we have the donors that allow us to make it happen.
And I've talked to a lot of veterans, and they do talk about the transitioning out of the military. So how important is it for those members to have a support system?
I think it's critical because there's a big difference between military life and civilian life.
Yeah,
it really is. And being able to kind of just maintain a flow for them, you know, sometimes they get stuck. You know, they don't know what to do because they've, you know, especially if they've entered the military like right out of high school, their entire adult life has been pretty much regimented and controlled. And now, okay, here, get a job, you know, do this, do that, get an apartment. You know, they really don't know where to turn. So having a support structure that, you know, can either provide, in our case, you know, the logistical, tactical items they need, as well as being connected to a network of other services. We just make sure that 100% of that veteran's needs are met. You know, we're one piece of that puzzle. But we have a large community network of support services, and we all work together on behalf of that veteran.
What does it mean to you to be helping out the military?
Well, it means a whole lot to me. You know, when I started 20 years ago, and, you know, our founder, Kristen, you know, we kind of started this journey together. We knew nothing about the nonprofit world, and we knew nothing about the military, like nothing. So we really had grown up with kind of the Desert Storm, Desert Shield experience. So, you know, in our minds, we're thinking, oh, we'll do this for a couple months while we're needed, and then we'll move on to something else, right? And we both had full-time jobs, you know, so I was working for a technology company. She was working for a manufacturing company. And, you know, we just really didn't have, if you had asked us 20 years ago that we would have, you know, grown to a nationally recognized nonprofit, you know, to the size that we are now, considering that, you know, we were really thrilled with our first fundraiser and raising $2,000, you know, it's just been an amazing journey. We really had no clue, excuse me, but, we leveraged the people that wanted to help. You know, again, our staff is completely volunteer. And, you know, we were all kind of just guided by a sense of patriotism, and identifying a need and finding that we had the skills and talent to meet that need and do as much good as we can.
What is some of the feedback you've gotten over the years?
Well, on the active duty side, it's really funny. You know, we get pictures and thank you notes that are just very gratifying. You know, when you, especially, you know, during the probably the most difficult days in Iraq and Afghanistan, when, you know, we actually were able to help those units that had experienced casualties or had their, you know, living quarters blown up and lost everything that they did have. And you send them these things, you know, we kind of go on autopilot. We're just shipping everything they need, and we don't think about what the actual impact is. And then you get this letter saying, we were in a really dark place and you made it feel like Christmas. And, you know, the effect that had on, you know, the men and women, was just, priceless. You know, so to get that kind of feedback is just, it's very overwhelming and it humbles you. On the veteran side, you know, you're talking to a lot of times people who are going through tremendous pain physically, or psychologically. And, you know, really feel kind of lost, especially if they are coming out of a homeless situation. So when they get that gift, you know, and they find out that, you know, there are people out there who really do thank them for their service. And we help veterans from all eras. I think the most impactful are the Vietnam veterans, because they didn't get the support that we provide to not post 9/11 veterans, you know, when they served, when they came home, they had a very different experience than the men and women who are returning home today. And for someone this, you know, so long after the war to say, hey, thank you so much, and here's a tangible way that we're saying thank you. We want you to be well. We want you to be healthy, and we want you to know how much we appreciate the sacrifice that you made for our freedom.
What motivates you?
You know, it's just kind of in my blood, Mike. You know, I can tell you the first song I learned as a child was the Marine Corps hymn. You know, my dad was very patriotic, and he told us stories about Even though my dad didn't serve in combat, he was between World War II, you know, and Korea, you know, that time span that he served. But he told me about, you know, Guadalcanal and what happened at Iwo Jima, and, you know, all the things that he learned through his Marine experience. But I think the biggest motivation was that I was probably 5 or 6 when my godfather returned home from Vietnam. And he and my father were very close. My dad was actually his uncle, but they were close in age. It was big Italian family. My dad was the youngest. And my godfather was the son of his oldest sister. So they were very close in age and had grown up together. And I just remember, because, you know, he was my hero. You know, I love my godfather and so much. And I was kind of sneaking on the stairs because I had been sent to bed. And I heard him talking to my mom and dad at the kitchen table. And he didn't understand why he got spit on in the airport. Why people were calling him a baby killer. He was very upset. And he'd gotten injured, you know, while he was in Vietnam. He almost lost his leg, but he recovered and went right back into battle, you know, and served proudly. And just didn't understand. And I just remember, I mean, it's a memory, probably one of my earliest memories, and it stayed with me forever. And I just thought to myself, you know, if I'm ever in a position to prevent this from happening again, I'm going to do it. And the opportunity presented itself with 9/11 and the subsequent combat that occurred after. And, you know, we just didn't realize that we'd be doing it for 20 years. You know, that, I mean, we literally the entire time, you know, that our organization has been in existence, we have been helping men and women who are deployed doing combat missions for, you know, or even humanitarian. You know, there's tsunamis and earthquakes and floods, you know, that we've been able to support our men and women who serve. So just the fact that, you know, you can make a tangible difference like that, and prevent, again, some of the sins of the past at the same time, that's what motivates me.
And you are celebrating 20 years, but where do you want to see the mission, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
Quite honestly, everyone in our organization prays every day that we're not needed anymore. I mean, the ultimate goal is that our services aren't needed, because every veteran is taken care of and we're not fighting anywhere. We've resigned ourselves to the fact that that's probably not going to happen, at least not in our generation. And, you know, on the active duty side, we are committed to evolving and changing as we have for 20 years to the needs of our military. You know, there are times when the bulk of our funding and resources are going to be going to those who are actively fighting. They're the priority. You know, we need to take care of them. And then there are times when there's not a whole lot of activity on that end, but we have more veterans who've returned home and need our care. So our goal is to make sure that we have the funding and the resources to be able to react to whatever our military is engaged in, and providing as much help as we can. So we try to grow from a funding perspective by about 20% annually. We've actually been doing a little more than that. We're very fortunate that we have great sponsors and donors. And we also now, we purchased a building so that we have a true operations and events center. So the next goal of ours is to finish the renovations, which we thought would be finished by now, but commercial construction just never goes as planned. But it's a beautiful two-story building. The lower floor is our operations. We have 2 huge rooms for the Welcome Home program, 2 huge rooms for the active duty program, a beautiful conference room, excuse me, and upstairs is an event space. And that's where we're going to expand our Welcome Home program. We are going to provide it as a place that any veteran can come to if they just want to get a cup of coffee or they need accesses to veteran information. Or, you know, they just want to meet with their case manager. And it's a convenient place so that they don't have to go into downtown Pittsburgh or an outlying VA center. Right. We're trying to bring the resources to the veterans, make it easier on them to get access to that information. And then we're also going to have free events for veterans, like family movie night, or, you know, we're in Pittsburgh. So if the Steelers are in a playoff game or a Super Bowl, or we have the Penguins in a playoff game or Stanley Cup, that we have them on a big screen and veterans can come with their kids and be in a, you know, a place where there's no alcohol, no smoking. It's just a place where they're comfortable. And then we also have what we call the Veterans Lounge, which is a separate area. Because a lot of times when we bring our veterans together in a large group setting, some get uncomfortable. So we wanted to make sure that there was a place that, you know, if you needed to go chill and go just sit on the couch and be away from the crowd, it's a comfortable place. And then it's also a place where they can access the internet and privately look up information if they're doing job hunting or looking for services. And we've got a full operational kitchen. So, yeah, we're looking forward to having our own fundraising events on site, as well as providing free events for veterans. So in the next year, that's where our focus is going to be.
How can people reach out and learn more?
Well, they can go to our website, which is OperationTroopAppreciation.org. You can also like us on Facebook. So if you do a search for Operation Troop Appreciation, you can like and follow our page. And everything, you know, we post pictures on the Facebook page that we get from our troops and our veterans, as well as our events are published there, both on the website and in our Facebook page. So it's very easy to find us.